Hello, I'm Neil McGregor, and thank you for downloading Germany, Memories of a Nation from BBC Radio 4. The 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. In Britain, every year since 1919, we have marked Remembrance Day, commemorating the courage of those who died in the First World War and the cause for which they fought. Every city, town and village has its ceremony, the sounding of the last post, the two-minute silence. We perform a well-established ritual to mourn the dead and to remember the high price of victory. Germany has no annual remembrance of the First World War, although in 1918, Germany had 1.8 million war dead, almost double the number for the whole British Empire. But then, what ceremony could be devised to commemorate a war that Germany had lost and of which it had, in the peace negotiations, been declared guilty? It's not that Germany has no monuments to its wars. Like every other European country, there are statues galore of victorious kings and generals. But 1918 was different. Germany had been defeated. It was assailed from abroad by accusations of starting the war and by demands for reparations after its end. It was destabilized at home by riots and attempted coups and by the claim of the stab in the back, that proud, dangerous assertion that the German army was never actually defeated, but was simply betrayed by the politicians. So how could one commemorate such a war and its huge human cost? One answer is here, in the Cathedral of Güstrow, a small town in northern Germany, halfway between Hamburg and the Polish border. A life-size floating figure in bronze hovers above the old baptismal font, the enduring symbol of forgiveness of sin and renewal of life. The angel is barefoot and wears a simple, heavy garment. Arms folded, its lips are closed. Soundless. Here, war is internalized, its horror and dread made all the greater by being mute. The figure is the work of the sculptor Ernst Barlach, who said that it was about the attitude that we, the spectators, should take to the war. Erinnerung und innere Schau, recollection and inner reflection. Barlach was born in the far north of Germany, in Holstein, in 1870, but he settled here in Güstrow in 1910. Like other artists and poets in Britain, France and Italy, Barlach was at first an enthusiastic supporter of the First World War. Barlach believed that a new dynamic society could be forged in war, and so he himself joined up in 1915. And the war indeed was a turning point for him, but for a quite different reason. He was appalled by his experiences at the front, and he became a staunch pacifist. Rather like the poet Wilfred Owen, Barlach was overwhelmed by the pity of war, and he sought to respond to its horrors in his art. In 1916, he was invalided out of the army, and thereafter, for the rest of his life, pacifism was a profound, indeed a shaping, influence on his sculpture. Barlach's first commission for a war memorial was in 1921 for the Nikolai Church in Kiel, in his native Schleswig-Holstein. He called it Mother of Sorrows, Schmerzensmutter, a lone woman in a cloak, with her hands clasped in front of her face, and an inscription, "My heart bleeds with grief, but you give me strength." She is the Virgin Mary. She is a woman of Kiel. She is every mother, enduring without understanding the loss of her son. A few years later, his 1929 memorial from Magdeburg was expected to include heroic warriors fighting for the glory of Germany. Instead, three soldiers stand beside a graveyard cross. In front of them are a mourning woman, a skeleton with a German army helmet, and a man with a gas mask. It's Barlach himself, who blocks his ears and shuts his eyes to the horrible realities of modern warfare.
Balach developed a very new type of war memorial.
Volker Probst, the director of the Balach Foundation and a scholar of his work.
You don't find any aspect of heroism or glorification of death and war. Instead, you find pain, death, mourning and grief. For me, and I think many of the visitors, Balach's angel is a timeless symbol for the love of freedom and peace and nonviolence.
By the mid-1920s, Balach was a national figure, and his anti-war views were well known. But the fact that he lived in Güstrow led the town to commission him to create this war memorial, inaugurated on Whit Sunday, 1927. One of the most striking features of the hovering angel here in Güstrow Cathedral is its face, with its high forehead and full mouth, its wide, sad eyes shut in evident grief. Students of German art can immediately recognise the face of another great German artist, Käthe Kollwitz. Kollwitz was a close friend of Ernst Balach. Like him, she was committedly anti-war, and she was a fitting model for this monument. She had lost her son, Peter, in the first year of the war. Balach's pacifism echoed her own, and they developed a close spiritual bond. The angel is Kollwitz in its expression of contemplative sorrow, speaking in a silent language that the whole world could understand. But that was not what Balach's critics saw. The Nazis loathed it, and once they came to power, they made it clear that the angel would have to go. In 1937, the Nazis held an exhibition of degenerate art in Munich to promote public revulsion against the political threat of what Goebbels called the perverse Jewish spirit. Balach was neither Jewish nor politically active, but his style, his works, and above all their anti-war message, were unacceptable. Two of his works were included in the Munich exhibition, and in the same year, on the 23rd of August 1937, on the orders of the Nazi authorities, the angel was removed from Güstrow Cathedral.
Jedes Jahr erinnern wir uns an die Abnahme des Schwebens.
Christian Hörser, pastor of Güstrow Cathedral, who explained that the absence of the statue is also a powerful memory. Every year, on the day that it was removed, a silent ceremony of reflection is held in the cathedral.
We meet to remember the removal of the angel and to consider how deeply our people erred and strayed. The depth of that error cannot be grasped through words, but a sculpture like this helps us to focus on it and to learn from it. With God's help and by our own actions, we seek to find ways of transforming this dark inheritance into a means of reconciliation. That is the challenge of the statue.
The sculpture was removed from Güstrow in 1937, put into storage nearby, and in the early 1940s was melted down by the Nazis to be used as metal for the war effort. Balach himself had died a year after its removal from the cathedral. Some of his friends and supporters located the plaster mould that the artist had originally used to cast the statue. Aware that the bronze angel was likely to be destroyed, they cast a second bronze from the plaster. The plaster mould itself was later destroyed by bombing, but the second bronze angel, identical to the original, survived, hidden in a village near Lüneburg in the northwest of Germany, until the war ended. After 1945, Balach's estate agreed that it should go on display. But by this time, Lüneburg was in the west and Güstrow was in East Germany. So in 1951, after much to-ing and fro-ing, the angel was given not to Güstrow, but to the Antonite Church in Cologne. It still hangs there, suspended very much as Balach had intended, but with one key difference. On the slab in the floor below it, to the dates 1914-1918, have been added 1933 to 1945, the added burden of the crimes, losses and deaths of the entire Nazi period. But if the surviving second version of the angel is now in Cologne, what is it that today floats with such mystery and potency above the font in Güstrow Cathedral? Pastor Christian Hörser explains.
In the 1950s, there were exploratory conversations about whether the second cast, which went to Cologne, might not come to Güstrow to hang in the place for which Balach had conceived it. But in the 1950s, the Cold War was going through a very hot phase. In addition, the GDR was not at all clear what the proper official communist attitude to Barlach's art and ideas should be. The debate inside the GDR was very challenging.
In spite of doctrinal disagreements among the communist leaders, and in spite of the barriers which the Cold War had erected, a copy of the Cologne bronze was made. And in 1953, this third incarnation of Barlach's bronze angel was installed in the cathedral in Güstrow. It was a rare vindication of dialogue in a divided Germany, a striking acknowledgement of the sculpture's symbolic significance to people all over the country. On a bitterly cold day in December 1981, when East and West Germany were still firmly divided, the West German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt made an official visit to East Germany, to Güstrow Cathedral, with the leader of the German Democratic Republic, Erich Honecker. And the two politicians stood where I'm standing now, beneath Barlach's angel. The Bishop of Mecklenburg, in his address, observed that Barlach's angel represented a shared memory, a shared past, for both parts of a divided Germany. Helmut Schmidt, in his reply, used the following words: "I would like to express that somewhat differently and say that he can also be our shared future." What Erich Honecker thought of that sentiment is unrecorded, but neither he nor Schmidt could, I think, possibly have imagined that almost exactly 10 years later, the two Germanys would be reunited, and that Barlach's statue would indeed represent not only a shared memory of wars and tyrannies, but also a shared future in what was now a shared country. In the 50 years since it returned, Barlach's angel has become the symbol of Güstrow. Its silhouette appears on motorway signposts, a hook for drawing tourists in ever larger numbers. It has not left the city for over 30 years, so its temporary absence, on loan to the British Museum this autumn, is an event of great local significance, as both Christian Hörser and Volker Probst are keen to explain.
The coincidence of 100 years beginning First World War and 25 years reunification of Germany were the arguments to bring Barlach's angel to London, and we are happy that this work can be seen by so many interested people.
When Helmut Schmidt and Erich Honecker met here in 1981, a new moment in German history was triggered by the angel. And now, the two parts of Germany can still meet here and, with the help of the angel, can converse. The theme of reconciliation is always present in our country. But we need it as a theme for Europe, too. That is why it is important for us to lend the angel to London.
There can be few objects which embody so much of German 20th century history as this sculpture from Güstrow. Like Germany itself, it has been dishonoured, destroyed, dismembered and refashioned, but it has always carried in itself the survival of an ideal and the hope of renewal, even when it has been absent.
While the sculpture is away, we decided not to put up any replacement, but to leave a void. I hope we can use it to address the questions it raises. Are we ready to assume responsibility? Are we willing to put ourselves on the line in the cause of reconciliation?
Alles in die Konzeption Ihrer Ausstellung.
To see the objects or the buildings featured in this series and to hear other Radio 4 programmes about Germany, search online for Germany, Memories of a Nation.